But I know, but you see, when you move along like that, you're looking at, when I hear about the OECS, I hear about the brilliant ones that have so many degrees. The economic, the economists, the actuaries, and the doctors. But I need hands-on men that can understand how to use equipment. Take, for example, in Barbados, and I even know the
other. How would you feel if they're the ones who developed that skill and wanted to come here? Would you accept that?
Yes.
Well, yes.
Because
yes.
What I'm getting, I'm a technocrat.
You might, but a lot of people wouldn't.
But you see, you serve, knowledge is transferable. If a man comes here who's good at what he's doing,
you need to spend a little time in looking and in trying to understand another dimension to economic development that may have more potential right now.
Yeah.
There's this thing called financial technology or fintech.
Right.
And you would have heard that the central bank and the Financial Services Commission have just created what they call a regulatory sandbox, which is a kind of facility that allows people to experiment without necessarily extending it across the nation, so that within that limited sphere, you are able to see to what extent new approaches and the financial technology can actually work. And then on the basis of that, you determine whether you will expand it even further.
But listen,
so those are the new areas as well. I know a lot of people are reluctant and you want to stay with the tried and tested, but some of the tried and tested may well be of the past as well. And we have to encourage, you know, new approaches. I remember in the 80s when we introduced the financial services sector, there was a lot of kicking and screaming against that, but it did us very well for a considerable amount of time.
But you see, I also live in the world of developing technology. I was schooled in Massachusetts way back in the 60s. And people were building bridges in Africa by way of a computer. So engineers and architects can, without having to go to the location, get the specs, set them down, people can redesign and test them, and then install them. They've still got to go down there and have the proper tools. But that is transferable technology. The other thing, too, I would say to you, at my age, now we have some property. I did talk about this a long time. I did science. I did medical engineering technology. I have been able to use AutoCAD and DataCAD at the stage before most people in Barbados were using it. I have taken some of our survey plans that were done way back then. I have done all of the design work and the laying out of finding all the points on the ground. Then I have been able to bring in the surveyors in Barbados, about two of them. One in particular is a very good man.
Okay, so where is this taking us?
Well, don't go there. But what I'm saying
the truth of the matter is that there's only one person in that job. So you don't have to call a name?
But no, I know there's one person, but there are a lot of sharing of knowledge.
No. If you are starting to put the person under a negative microscope, then we have to be concerned when it is only one person that can easily be identified. And that person isn't here to defend themselves against what you're saying. Does not matter. It makes it seem to most people as though you're talking about the current holder.
But no, I didn't say that.
But anyhow, we're not going there. We're not going there, all right?
But anyhow, finishing this off, in Barbados, we have so much fraud. I am telling you now, this inner situation that we're talking about now.
No, please, let's stop. Yeah. Let's move on. I don't like the direction that you're going in right now, so let's stop there, okay? Thank you very much. Down to brass tacks.
Hello, Mr. Ellis.
Hi. Good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon. Yeah, this is Lolita here. I wonder why people would call and give their point of view, and then whether it's a moderator or not. When that person want to give their point of view, it seems to be totally unacceptable.
Example?
Like the guy that was saying that you turn things around. And I find that not to be so. And I find that most of the moderators, they try to be in the middle ground, more or less. And that is where things ought to be. So...
But you have different opinions, you know.
Yeah, I know.
And you sometimes you don't even take into consideration what is at the back of a person's comments. Sometimes people want to sway you in a particular direction, so they use psychology to get you to go there.
You know this thing tall. Yes, I like to hear the guy from St. John.
The man who claims he's an Ecky Becky?
Yes. You see, you learn from
him. He scared me today, though.
And he comes with some words I never hear in my life. So he got me running to the dictionary to find out. There's a word he gave you just now. I can't remember ever hearing that word in my life.
Which one was that?
He said he's a fisherman, but I can tell you. I think he's more than that. There's nothing wrong with being a fisherman, but I tell you he's more than that. I think he's really putting his legs in that one. I was wondering if he was going to call again. Anyhow, the thing about the highway, I hope that in finishing the highway, they will put some strikes or something on those Jersey barriers, because when the rain is falling at night and you're passing through an area that is not well lit, you cannot see the Jersey barriers.
Mm-hmm.
So they need to do something about, if they can't paint the whole thing, which might be a lot of paint, see if they can get some of the paint producers to put some stripes, yellow, white, whatever, on those barriers so that people will be safe. Right? The final one is the persons who are being laid off. The government, they say they will be giving some persons 5,000 and so on. I think what they should encourage these persons to do is get together and find out who want to do what, and like a co-op, right? Encourage persons to say 10 people want to go into car washing, or 10 people want to go into agriculture, or 10 people want to go into planting some cotton, whatever these persons want to do. I think they should hold some meetings, whether it be town hall meeting or whatever, with these persons that are laid off, whoever is interested, and encourage them and back them a bit in what they want to do, because as the guy was saying to you, $5,000 is, if you start out with that, then you won't have anything to back you up if you don't come up really good in the beginning. It need to be sustained.
But you know, one of the aspects of this whole question of the movement into entrepreneurship that has been missing in this discourse, It assumes that everybody who wants to get into business wants to do that all on their own.
Uh-huh.
And there is no discussion about the pooling of resources.
That's what I'm talking
to
about.
To achieve business enterprises.
Right.
And along with that, there's got to be a discussion too about the technical support that is necessary to help these people along the way, in as much as we concede that not everybody is entrepreneurial, as was said by the first caller today.
Mm-hmm. For instance, if a person wants to, say, do some chicken farming or egg production, everybody don't sell the chickens, but some people deal with the eggs. We should not be bringing in eggs then. We use so much eggs that we should be able to buy from the persons, so that every now and then here you can't get eggs, every now and then here you can't get tomatoes, every now and then here you can't get this and that. So I think we can be self-sufficient in certain areas, and these persons can, whoever wants to go into business, can fill these gaps in different ways. So I think they should be encouraged to pull and get businesses going in that way.
All right, ma'am. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
If you're following the mail bombing situation in the United States, or the mail bombs, a 56-year-old man has been arrested in Florida in connection with that mail bombing campaign aimed at critics of Donald Trump. And then in Jamaica, Mark Shields, a British-trained cop who served in the Jamaica force for nearly 15 years before stepping down as deputy commissioner, has asserted that 25% of the men and women in the force in Jamaica, including senior officers, are corrupt criminals and totally beyond help. Okay, so these are some of the other developments that you will hear a bit more about during the course of the day. Down to brass tacks. Hello? You're on the air?
Hello.
Yes, welcome.
How are you keeping today?
I'm well, and you?
Not too bad today. But I have a problem with that, so if you agree with me. I didn't get my check this morning, so I sent my son to the credit union. They told him that I have to get a letter. I sent a letter to him. I'm not saying, but he left the same. Then telling him that you have to get justice of peace. Why didn't you tell me about that before I sent him? I don't feel it's right to.
But you called him before you sent him?
Yes, please. And they told me to write a letter that he could draw it. And now I sent him back. They told him.
So they have you frustrated?
Yes, I'm frustrated. I called him. I tell him straight. Mm. He said he could deport my money. He could ever draw it. I cannot get it wrong. I have a problem. And I tell him, get all my money together and let me have all. Let me put my money on some letters.
You said you want all your money from the credit union?
I call back and I tell them.
So where you going to put it?
Huh?
Under the mattress?
Well, I'll find somewhere to put it. I would need to tell them, let me get all. But if they can understand me what I want, and I just a little bit, you know. Why didn't you tell me that? Well, you have to get a piece of son letter.
That is because, you know, basically what they're trying to guard against. That anybody can't come off the street and go and take money off of your account.
But it's my son. He has already carried along with mine.
So whose account was it? His or yours?
It's my account.
Right, and you were trying to get the money drawn off of your account, correct?
Yes.
So they're trying to protect you. I take your point, though, that if you called and you were advised to take a particular step, then you would expect that they would say to you, remember, if somebody else is drawing it on your behalf, then they need to get a justice of the peace to sign.
Then she told me that, yes. Then she told me that.
Yeah.
Then she already let her come down there and they hear her and I haven't got my check yet. And then she tell him from before, well, you have to get a justice of peace to sign it first before you bring it. But then she then told me nothing.
But let me ask you, how many times have you been through this experience?
Only
not getting the
time.
Check. This is the first time.
No, this is the first time. My check is always.
It's usually on time.
I just get survival check and I just get that anytime they feel like sending it.
Tell me anytime they feel like sending it.
But then what they say? Everybody's getting check and the young boys don't get money.
So how long has this been going on?
The money even put on a rest for money and they get a small check.
How long has that been happening?
I'm having a good one, you know. I can remember time when Sunday, I didn't get a check for 3 months. And they had to go up there, but now they can't get around to getting away. And that time they could go up there, and they went up there.
All right.
And
they
keep me so alone.
Recognizing that the system is flawed in that way, have you given any thought to what you would suggest that the authorities should do to improve the situation for people like you, where the checks are delayed? Have you thought about that?
Well, I can't do nothing about it. I have to wait for the Senate.
Okay.
I have to wait. That is why you need to get something to let them get your check.
But let me ask you, as an average person out there, dealing with all that everybody else talks about here, how do you cope at that level, at your level in society? You get a disability check. What is life like for people like you?
Well, I just get a survival check.
A survivor's check?
Yes, but I don't have, like, not a big one, there's a small one.
Mm-hmm.
And they say who having a small check will get a raise, but I didn't get any raise on mine.
And how do you survive on that?
Well, you are for voice. You understand?
Cutting and contriving, I hear people talk about that. You got to cut and contrive.
Yeah.
But with everything going up in price and all of that, I mean, how feasible, how easy or difficult is it to cut and contrive, as people say?
Well, you got to do it. Well, your bills come in very high, and you have to pay them like a cooling man till you get them paid.
That is part of something that has been growing in the country, where you have to, as you say, you're paying the bills like a cooling man. You can't pay the whole bill.
You can't pay the whole bill.
So you pay a little piece this month and, yeah.
Well, when you start to pay, they can't call out now because you start to pay some.
Yes, yes. Now, that's an interesting trend that we don't really look at, you know, in the country. And it would be interesting to see to what extent that has grown among Barbadians. because we talk about how people survive, and many times you hear the discussion about how many fets people go to. But that other segment of the society that is paying the bills in installments, and in a sense, you feel as though you're perpetually in debt. That's how,
well,
you know.
You have to be satisfied to what you got.
Yes.
And let what you have done do.
Perhaps the people at the university should one day, some student or so, do a study on how that particular trend has changed over the years, and to what degree do we have more people living like that? Thank you very much.
All right. Have a blessed day.
You do too. Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Hello?
Welcome to the program. Turn off your radio, please.
All right, sir.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I wanted to get a query about, you know, like with it, with the speeding on the road, what I figure, like, they need to put up some more signage on the road.
Okay. I think that in general terms, many people would agree with you that we need more signage.
Yeah, because, I mean, we have too many driving on certain roads and you don't know the limits, and then, like, when you get pulled over now, they're telling you this road is a 60 road, this road is a 40 road. But, I mean, you need to let the public know a little bit more.
Did that happen to you?
I got a report on St. George, right?
You mean Salters?
No, out Lake Road Village.
Okay.
Right.
And that, and the speed limit there is what?
60 kilometers.
60 kilometers.
But, I mean,
you were in a state of shock. You were in a state of shock when the policeman told you that you had broken the speed limit?
Of course, because, I mean, for me, I was even like cruising, and I was surprised when he told me so. But at the end of the year,
the law is the law.
Yeah, the law is the law. But
there are no signs there to remind you. There are no signs along the way to remind you that your speed limit on certain roads is only 60 kilometers.
Yeah. And I mean, there's an area up near me, Ashford, that they have people that went before for this same thing, and they had to put up a sign on the same Ashford. So I figure, like, other places they could put some signs too.
Well, your point is well taken. Yes. Not only is it a question of reminding you of the speed limit, but it also reminds people who are actually speeding that they need to slow down. I think it's worth pursuing.
But sometimes you might be just driving, and then when you see a sign, you know, you acknowledge and say, well, look, I won't be limiting, you know, yourself.
But there's another side to that. There's the issue of zebra crossings. You know how many zebra crossings the paint has been faded, and you can sometimes miss them? It's really important that we deal with these things, because sometimes they cost people their lives.
Gotta
be careful with it. Okay, thank you very much. Let's take another call. It's now 26 minutes after 1 o'clock. Hello?
Hello.
Welcome.
A blessed and spiritual weekend to you and yours.
Thank you.
Staff and all listeners, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, ma'am.
I heard that lady just now, but I would advise her not to take off the money. I know you'd be stressed out and saying that she have a disability and can't get around, but sometimes you call places and the persons who speak to you, they don't know how to explain certain things to you, because that has happened to me on several occasions, not but with money. But you call a one person, tell you something, and then when you call back, the other person that explain it to you that you could understand. What she said about, I have a disability, and my checks come, the utilities, everything gone up, and as she said, we have to pay them like coolie man. You have to pay your bills. So, what you can do, and if it is, and I would tell people this, say, if you cannot reach the commitments, call in, go into the people and explain yourself. But I can remember 10 years ago, I got laid off. And I would pay my accounts very well, but from the time I got laid off and things started to hit home, my debtors were so thick. And I had to call them and tell them, I even called a program and explained, if you know you're a person accustomed to paying you properly, give the person a chance. Some of them, like, they just don't interest, they want their money and they need you must you have to get. And sometimes with the NIS, you have to wait until the checks come. That was my problem with the NIS. You have to wait till the checks come. It takes you that to come in at exact time. I mean, the unemployment checks at the time. So I they used to give me stress, but thank God I was able to clear them, and that's it. But it is tough, but as we have something, we have it to do. And I would say that we cause a lot. Not me. I was a government worker, and I did my best. But my last year, I was, you could say, a private. So we private people have to work. But a lot of these people by dragging registry, land tax, all those places. So, and some of they have, don't talk about MTW and waterworks and those places. Just a sidewalk to do, and 10 men, 3 weeks, and all that kind of thing, just to do a little piece of sidewalk. So we cause all this on ourselves. We cause it.
Ma'am.
So that we shouldn't be blaming nobody because we drag. But we should be getting the income coming in. We people got to pay land tax and got to wait so long to the father and buy fees to go back home with the money to pay when they feel like they don't pay at all. So well, the registrar, you got to wait 3 weeks and things, 4 weeks for a death certificate, your marriage certificate and things like that. So,
well, thank you very much. On that note, I share with you this one. This person went to the licensing authority Wednesday and early this morning to purchase their $200 disc for the vehicle, but the system was down on both occasions. The cashier couldn't offer any advice on what to do if your disc has expired. The person went on to say that people are complaining that they took time off from work more than once only to hear that the system is down. And the police are insisting that your disc must be valid when they stop you. That's it for today's edition of Down to Brass Tacks. Thanks to Dennis Johnson and to John Stout, who assisted us at different points in today's program as technical operator and producers. And thanks to all of you who participated in the program, especially those who called, and of course, the listeners to this edition of Down to Brass Tacks. I'm David Ellis. Do have a great afternoon.